Well, good evening. Sir, it's good to see each and every one of you. Appreciate the opportunity to bring a portion of God's Word to you tonight. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." In Psalm 111 and verse 10, the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever." And then in Psalm 119 and verse number 73, the Bible also says, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn Thy commandments." You know, we preach a lot of sermons. I know I have when I've preached before, but we preach a lot of sermons about why we should believe, why we should come to services, why we worship, why we're spiritual, why we are to be God's people, why we should be baptized, and rightfully so, obviously. But many times we don't sit down and explain to people why they should actually care about these things. And I mean deeper than beyond that God said so, or because Mom said so, or Dad said so, but why should you care about the Bible? Why should you care about God? Why should you even care about coming to worship services? And this may be the wrong crowd to preach this sermon to. But why should we care about these things? I think there are three broad reasons why we should care about these things. Number one, I think we should care about these things because we love ourselves. Number two, we should care about these things because we love God. And number three, we should care about these things because we love those around us. We love our neighbors. And the reason why I put them in this order, and it may be a little odd, is that, number one, we have to love ourselves, right? If we don't love ourselves, we cannot even begin to love anyone else. We cannot even begin to love God. We don't know what that love is. If you don't treat somebody else, if you don't treat yourself right, you cannot treat somebody else right. And that's really what Paul emphasizes in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 28 and 29. He said, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." Christ was able to give his body up for the church because he loved himself, and he loved the church more than he did himself, really. But we, as people, as you look at this verse, you see that if you are going to love your wife properly, biblically, as God wants you to love that wife, then you need to love her as you would love yourself. And we love ourselves a lot in many ways, don't we? We care for ourselves in many different ways. We get up early sometimes to get dressed, or women get up early to do their hair and things of that nature because they care, they respect for themselves and these type of things. But loving self should force one to love others. But if a person doesn't love themselves, if they don't have respect for themselves, you could see the result of that. Just go to our prison system that is full of those who have murdered, have taken lives, have abused others in this life, because of the lack of respect and the lack of love they have for themselves. Loving self should force one into caring for self both spiritually and physically. In Luke chapter 9 and verse number 25, the Bible says, "For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?" You can love yourself too much, obviously, in this particular passage. But if you love the world more than anything else, if you have a disregard for those who are around you, if you have a disregard for God's Word, you have lost everything. Why should you care about spiritual things? Because you love yourself. You have a love for your soul. You need to understand that the Bible teaches you how to take care of oneself spiritually. We look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 14. Paul says it very plainly. He said, "For He," speaking of Jesus Christ, "is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." You see, sin raised up that wall between us and God. And the only thing to bring that wall down is Jesus Christ. He brought that wall down when He nailed Himself, or had Himself nailed to a cross. was punished in that way for things that he never did. And he, his blood being shed, allowed us to be joined together with God if we are obedient to him. We go a little bit further. We say, why should I care about these things? Because I love God. I should care about these things because I love God. But why should I love God? Why should I love God? Well, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, we learn that it is possible not to love God. There are those in this world, as it is evident with those who believe in evolution and believe in idolatry and things of those nature, worldliness, that they just don't love God. In fact, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Let's put it in Jesus' word in John 14 and verse 50, where he said very plainly, what? If you love me, keep my commandments. What's the opposite of that? It teaches us that if we don't love God, we won't keep his commandments. You see, it is possible not to love God. And we can see that manifest in many different ways. In 1 John 4 and verse 9, he also says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now jump down to verse number 19. We love him because he first loved us. It is not possible for us to love God as much as he loved us. The only way that we can know anything about loving ourselves or God or those who are around us is to learn from the love that God had shown us, that he first showed us in sending his Son to die upon that cross. We look at this and we see in 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Looking at this particular verse, we see it says, and we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. I should love God because his love causes me to care. When I learn about God's love, it should inspire me. It should make me want to teach other people about his word. It should make me want to teach them about his word, because we know that they are in a situation, those who are in the world, in a lost state. And I preached about this a few weeks ago up in St. Joseph. When we talk about the gospel, why should we believe in these things? Why should we be inspired about it? Because there are others out there that are simply lost. They are going to hell if they stay in that situation. We need to recognize that. If you are not doing the things that God has asked you to do, if you're not capitalizing on his word, if we're not even doing the things as a Christian, we are in a lost state. We need to care about these things because we love those individuals, because we love our neighbors. We go to Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 39. We see that Jesus here talking to that rich young man, that rich ruler. He said that not only the first commandment being that we love God with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul, but he says in verse 39, and the second is like unto it. He said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That to me is a strong, strong statement. I have to love you as much as I love myself. I have to love a person I've never met in my entire life just as much as myself. That's what the Bible teaches me. I learned that from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. We often look at this, and we won't look at all of this, but here is a story about the Good Samaritan. They call him the Good Samaritan because the Levite and the priest left a man dying in a ditch, passed him by, didn't help him, and this Samaritan comes by in the story that Jesus says. And he's trying to teach this young ruler what mercy really is. Who is my neighbor? Is the question that was asked. In verse number 25, but he willing, speaking of this rich young man, to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is thy neighbor? So he tells him the story. At the very end of verse 36, he says, rich now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. He didn't say just pay attention to the Jews. He didn't say pay attention what was convenient. You know, it's really easy for me to love everybody in this room. It really is. It's really easy for me to be kind to you. It's really easy for me to shake your hand. But try taking that to somebody you don't even know. And in my job, what I do is I call businesses up. They have no idea that I'm calling many times. Many times they get about 26 calls from my company about a month before I call. So they're very angry with me when I pick up the phone. And many times there's these curse words that come out of their mouth. And many times I'll get about 5 or 10 of those calls right in a row. And Robert knows exactly what I'm talking about. And you just sit down the phone and you're angry. You're angry at the company for giving you these garbage leads. You're angry at this person for cussing at you like that. But then you have to sit there and put yourself in their shoes. What have they, not saying that that's ever acceptable whatsoever, but what have they had to listen to over the last month? But we have to still try to love that person that just cussed me out on the phone. I still show them kindness. More importantly, though, those who we can physically help and touch. Those who we can help right now. Those who we can affect. More importantly, not just physically, who can we help spiritually? Who can we give that card that says, hey, come to a gospel meeting. Here's a DVD. It's free. These things are all free that we have accessible. Do you love your neighbor as much as yourself to save them from hell fire? A day of a lifetime of eternity of being in hell. Do you love that coworker enough? Do you love your mom and dad? Do you love your sister, brother? Do you love your friends and neighbors enough to keep talking to them even though they've told you they don't want to hear about it anymore? Have we went the last mile, so to speak? Tonight, why should I care about these things? The Bible tells us three basic things. We got to love ourselves, we got to love God, and we got to love our neighbors. These things are important to me, they're important to you, I know. But we got to get these messages out there. We got to start acting in these ways as well. I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody else. Tonight, if you are not a member of the Lord's body, if you haven't taken advantage of being part of that body through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, you too need to be part of that death, burial, and resurrection. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as He states in John 3 and verse 16, that you should have that salvation, you should have that eternal life, then you need to repent of a lifestyle that you're in. Not only repenting, you need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, that you may have that eternal life. You may have that crown of life that Jesus speaks of in Revelation 2 and verse 10, if you're faithful unto death. I know that's speaking of persecution that time, but we know that that passage means that from other passages as well, that we will have a crown of life if we are faithful in this lifetime. We'll have that home in heaven with Jesus, with God and the Holy Spirit, and we'll be able to live eternally with Him. But how many people can we encourage to do that? If you're a Christian, you failed in these things, just as I've failed many times, then you need to come forward. You need to ask for prayer, strength of the congregation. You speak with these wonderful men that we have as elders and men of this congregation, women of this congregation, they'll help encourage you down that right road. Whatever we may do to help you, please come forward as we stand and sing this invitation song.